The North will rise again, this time on Culture File, with the second part of our conversation with writer and academic Alex Nevin. In his new book, The North Will Rise Again, he looks at the various cultural uprisings that characterised the north of England in the 20th century. Last time we met the controversial northern politician T. Dan Smith, known as the Mouth of the Tyne, who planned and began to turn Newcastle into what some called the Brasilia of the North. Alex Niven takes up the story of a flawed hero.
In the very early 60s, his council, as leader of the council, it was the first council in the country to have a kind of in-house architect, a guy called Wilf Burns, who was responsible for the Eldon Square shopping mall, which isn't actually architecturally that good on the whole and on the exterior. Actually, T. Dan Smith tried to get Arne Jacobsen, a much more famous Danish architect, to design kind of 60s shopping mall. That didn't come off. But one thing that did come off was it had this tremendous kind of sci-fi atrium with a kind of cafe shaped like a flying saucer, various, you know, trappings of this post-war modernist aesthetic. And I talk in the book, obviously, in the memoir passages about being struck by this as a child and finding Newcastle to be an incredibly exciting place in the 80s and 90s because of the legacy of this post-war modernist period and the buildings that emerged from that, which, you know, is sometimes sort of demonised and talked about in terms of concrete monstrosities. But, you know, certainly as a child, you know, walking into Eldon Square and seeing this kind of, you know, flying saucer cafe, I would at least compare it favourably to the sort of architecture that we have today in a city, which is, on the whole, more kind of corporate and prosaic, and architecture and development that arises from the empowerment of big business and the market, as opposed to having slightly more idealistic ideas about human progress.
I love this idea that, you know, what the council did was actually shaping minds like you. What they decided to build was kind of building your worldview at the same time. And I guess that for your cohort, that was probably happened quite generally. It's a relationship to the city architecture that, you know, I think is quite rare today.
There's a sort of literal sense in which T. Dan Smith's legacy shaped who I was, in that, you know, my dad's came to the Northeast as a lecturer at Newcastle Polytechnic, which is part of T. Dan Smith's scheme for the kind of educational expansion of the Northeast. So that is my kind of, I have a very specific kind of family connection to this culture of, you know, an empowered public sector, a kind of pre-rise of the market era, if you like, in terms of how cities are put together and how local infrastructure and local jobs are organised and arranged. That was the culture that I literally emerged from.
I suppose another aspect of what shaped the people of the area was something like you talk about in the Morden Tower scene, you know, a literary culture, which is sort of more what you would expect to be part of the sort of coming-of-age story of the critic or the artist.
I mean, the Morden Tower scene was all about, you know, a revival of forms of modernist poetry. It was about doing new and radical things with poetry. It arose when a couple of quite young people, figures, Tom and Connie Pickard, rented a section of the town walls, the old medieval walls of Newcastle, from the council, actually, and started putting on quite spontaneous, countercultural, freewheeling poetry readings in the mid-60s. And they became a big epicenter of a sort of modernist revival, which has obvious parallels with this attempt to, you know, revive the modernist traditions of the North in this period of deindustrialization. You know, there were kind of big differences with the kind of more hard-edged modernist aesthetic of the architecture being produced in the city at that time. Nonetheless, I think there were certain affinities. And I think it all comes back to this question of how to, on the most basic level, revive Northern culture, kick against this quite centralised culture that we have in England, which is predominantly based in the southeast and in London. There's a fierce desire to revive, advocate, regenerate the North. The North. The North. The North. The North. The North. The kind of musical counterculture that arose in Manchester during what I call the long 80s, that is, you know, from the very late 70s until the sort of early to mid 90s. I think this is a time of tremendous cultural flowering, largely through music, through pop music, throughout Britain and indeed Ireland. But perhaps in Manchester, it's most vigorous and most wonderful, really. So, you know, we all know the bands, you know, the kind of legendary bands of that period, from sort of Joy Division through the Smiths, arguably, you know, ending with Oasis. But for me, the Stone Roses are quite an important climactic moment in that narrative of this Manchester music scene, in a sense, neo-modernist Manchester music scene of the long 1980s. A song, a very short song on their debut album, Elizabeth My Dear, is in a sense a kind of folk song. It's based on the melody of Scarborough Fair, an old northern ballad discovered in the modern period, being sung by a kind of lead miner from the far north Pennines in County Durham, and transferred through various sources, Martin Carthy among others, Simon and Garfunkel, to the Stone Roses, who in 1989, apply a quite insurrectionary set of lyrics to the melody of Scarborough Fair. Elizabeth, My Dear, is a song about getting rid of the monarchy, getting rid of the Queen. You know, for me, the revival of the North has to be radical. I think that's quite an important point in a context where a lot of the kind of revivalism and regeneration schemes of the North and in the North over the last few decades have basically been neutralized by sort of appeals to moderation and, you know, the sense that this is the best we can ever hope for. Leveling out the country, leveling up in the current kind of cliched terminology, has to entail some kind of radical overhaul of England and Britain and how they're structured constitutionally, which at some point will have to factor in some kind of getting rid of the monarchy or at least substantial reform of this, you know, medieval constitution that we have in England. So, you know, Elizabeth, My Dear by the Stone Roses, you know, brings together that sense of a kind of cultural revival or blossoming or renaissance that we had in Manchester in the 80s, with this underlying sense that, you know, if you want to truly revive or regenerate the North, you're going to have to tear things up at the roots. You really have to overhaul the constitution. You have to, in the end, go for a radical solution, a radical overhaul of the way the country's structured.
Few changes since then. I was talking to Alex Niven, whose book The North Will Rise Again is out now.